Welcome back to Hard Facts with Sandra Ezekwesili.
It's 1 minute past five. I'm Sandra Ezekwesili. What were the biggest political stories of 2021? We're continuing a Hard Facts look back at the year. Each day this week, we're looking at a different category of story from 2021 on the Big Hard Fact. Today, we're doing political stories. Tomorrow, on our business segment, Balogun and Broad, we're going to take a look at business stories, big business stories from 2021. On The Glass Ceiling tomorrow, we're going to look at big stories that we covered on The Glass Ceiling in 2021. Now, today I don't have studio guests. It's just you and me, Lagos. But just like yesterday, I'll give you a list of stories. You will tell me which one you think was the biggest political story of the year. And if I left out your favorite story, just remind me. Now, let me remind you of some of the stories. Big political stories that we covered on Hard Facts this year. We had the Southern governors holding meetings and making declarations, the first meetings that they had held in a very long time. We had local government elections here in Lagos. Anambra elected Chukwuma Soludo as governor. The court ordered INEC to un-deregister youth party. President Buhari nominated Loretta Onochie to be an INEC commissioner, even though she is a member of the APC. A coalition of northern food producers attempted a food blockade of the south. Do you remember that story? Issa Pantami was in the news for past comments about Boko Haram and Al-Qaeda. In the southwest, we had the rise and arrest of Sunday Igbogo and his Yoruba Nation movement. In the southeast, you had IPOB's sit-at-home threats and Nnamdi Kanu's extraordinary rendition and trial. This year, the National Assembly passed the Electoral Act amendment after a long controversy over electronic transmission, and then President Buhari vetoed it. This was also the year where Twitter was banned. There was also that, of course. We also had loads of PDP governors defecting to the APC, and this revived the debate over whether or not the parties are the same. Governor Seyi Makinde made the point that professionals were needed in politics, that they needed to be get into politics, and there cannot be a political year without a party leadership crisis. Last year, it was the APC. This year, it was the PDP. So before we get into the details, I want you to tell me which of these stories is already your first choice of political story of the year. Women, call me on 01465-7190. Men, call me on 0700-993-993-993. You can also share your thoughts via WhatsApp. WhatsApp is 080-959-75805. So let me remind you again what some of the political stories are. I'm sure that there are some that I left out that you think should be on this list. But on my list, the Southern governors holding meetings, making declarations, local government elections in Lagos, Anambra electing Chukwuma Soludo as governor, court ordering INEC to register the youth party again, President Buhari nominating Loretta Onochie to be an INEC commissioner, a coalition of northern food producers attempting a food blockade of the south, Issa Pantami in the news for past comments about Boko Haram and Al-Qaeda, in the southwest, the rise and arrest of Sunday Igbogo and the Yoruba Nation movement, in the southeast, IPOB sit-at-home threats, and Nnamdi Kanu's extraordinary rendition and trial, National Assembly passed the Electoral Act amendment this year after that controversy over electronic transmission. President Buhari vetoed it. There was the Twitter ban. We had loads of PDP governors defecting to the APC, which led to people saying, aha, see, both parties are the same. Governor Seyi Makinde made the point that professionals were needed in politics. And, you know, we also had our share of this year's party leadership crisis. Last year, like I said, it was the APC. This year, the PDP. We're going to get into some of these stories, but which of these stories is already your first choice as political story of the year? 0700-993-993-993. Hello, thank you for calling. Good to have you on the show. What's your name?
Favor.
Favor, good to have you on the show. Welcome. Which one is your political story of the year?
I'll call you back.
Okay. All right, then. Call me back. 99.3, hello. Sorry about that. Call back if you can. 99.3, hello.
Good evening, Sandra.
Good evening. What's your name, sir?
This is Friday from Mr. Lady.
Friday. Which one is your political story of the year?
The band of Twitter.
Twitter.
You know why that one? Because the FC, that the Minister of Information gave.
Mm. Okay.
He said that because Twitter did not delete Nathalie tweet and deleted President tweet.
Mm.
And this is the same minister that declared Nathalie Kalu a terrorist.
Okay.
And you are now telling Nigeria that because a terrorist tweet was not deleted.
Mm.
Which means, in other way, you are comparing the president with a terrorist.
I'm not seeing the correlation, but okay. Hello, thanks for calling. Sorry about that. Call back if you can. If you're a woman, call us on 01465-7190. 01465-7190. If you're a man, 0700-993-993-993. Hello, thanks for calling. Hello.
Hello.
Thank you for calling. What's your name?
My name is Olukola.
Olukola, how old are you? Hello, hello. How old are you, Olukola?
Eh?
How old are you?
I am 15 years old.
You're 15 years old?
Yes.
Okay. Do you wanna talk to me about your political story of the year?
Yes.
Okay, which one is it?
The political, our leaders. They are very, very stupid.
Okay. All right. Let's mind our language there. I didn't know what I was expecting, but I wasn't expecting that. 99.3. Hello. Sorry about that. Call back if you can. All right. While we're waiting for the phone lines to figure itself out, let me tell you about one of my favorite political stories of the year, the Southern Governors Forum. It shook a lot of tables in 2021. This is a group that before this year was almost dormant, right? But they woke up this year with three big meetings. First in Asaba, then in Lagos, and then in Enugu. And after each meeting, they issued joint statements, which Nigerians started calling declarations. The Southern Governors made a lot of demands. They agreed to ban open grazing in all their states. And since then, almost every Southern state has passed anti-open grazing laws. And some have already started implementing them. They also demanded that the federal government create a framework to permit state police, and that the federal police and other agencies should inform a state governor as chief security officer before any operation in his state. This happened after the crisis that happened in Seyi Makinde's state. And then they also demanded a change to the FAC allocation formula in favor of state and local governments at the expense of the federal. They now asked President Buhari to convene a national conference to discuss restructuring. Then when it comes to elections, the Southern Governors said that they support rotation and zoning of the presidency, and they want the presidency to come to the South in 2023. And we saw very strong reactions to the Southern Governors. Some stakeholders were very happy that they were finally speaking with one voice and supported their position. Some other stakeholders criticized the Southern Governors and said that it was divisive of them to come out together, leaving out the Northern Governors. But the supporters of the Southern Governors were like, look, the Northern Governors have meetings all the time. They have meetings regularly. They've been having these meetings for years and nobody has said it was divisive. So why are the Southern Governors now being criticized for doing the same thing? It was a big conversation. It raged for weeks on Hard Facts, on Nigeria Info, on different media. platforms. But that's our first story. And I wonder what you think, Lagos. Did you welcome or dislike the rise of the Southern Governors Forum? What do you think of their demands? What did you think of their demands at the time? You can still tell me which of my stories is your biggest political story of the year, your first choice as political story of the year. 0700-993-993-993. Hello, thanks for calling.
Hello, President Sandra.
Good to have you on the show. Good evening.
Yes, my name is Emmanuel. I'm calling from my job.
Emmanuel, welcome.
I think the Southern Governors coming together was a great one, but you didn't mention my favorite story.
Okay, which one?
Which is about NIN.
Ah, okay.
It's my favorite because it turned out to be an unfortunate situation that shows how inconsistent and unstrategic our government is in not planning. COVID and a lot of controversies that came around the implications of NIN. We're going to stop your bank, we're going to stop this one, you won't be able to do that, your phone number. And even the stress that many Nigerians went through in getting registering their SIM. And some people that lost their SIM, maybe had their phone stolen at that time. Till today, I was unable to retrieve their numbers because of the policy that came around, which shows how the government is not planning and the implications of their policies.
That's yours. All right. So thank you very much, Emmanuel, for sharing that. I didn't add NIN because NIN started in 2020, so it's not it spilled over into 2021, but it's not exactly a 2021 story. And in any case, next week we're also going to look at some of the biggest policies that were announced in 2021. So maybe NIN will feature there. But thank you so much, Emmanuel, for sharing your big story, your big political story. Hello, thanks for calling.
Hello.
Thank you for calling. What's your name?
Favor,
good to have you on the show.
Yes.
Okay. Are you ready now to tell me which story?
Yes.
Okay.
The Southern Governors coming together.
The Southern Governors coming together. That's your political story of the year.
Yes.
All right, Favor. Thank you very much for calling back. 99.3. Hello.
Hello, Sandra.
Thanks for calling. What's your name?
Happiness. Calling from Ikorodu.
Thank you, Happiness, for calling.
Sandra, mine is the sit-at-home mother. I was thinking it will lead to a breakup in this country.
Okay.
But I thank God that everybody is united now.
Okay.
And it's peaceful. Yes.
All right.
That's my greatest political
story
news
of the
year.
All right. Thank you, Happiness, for calling. That brings me to our second story. Secessionists were big in the news this year. Here in the Southwest, we had the rise of Sunday Igbuo and his Yoruba Nation movement. They gained popularity as they spoke up against attacks in the Southwest by militant groups supporting herdsmen. But Igbuo got in trouble with the government for his allegedly inflammatory statements and for declaring the independence of Yoruba land. He held a series of rallies across the Southwest, but it all came to a head after a rally here in Lagos. Police allegedly shot at protesters, leading to at least one death of a bystander. After that, the SSS raided Igbo's home. This time, there were a lot more deaths. Igbo himself disappeared, but reemerged in Benin Republic, where he was arrested, and he's still being held in Benin Republic. The federal government is trying to extradite him, but so far, no dice. The government did succeed in extraditing Nnamdi Kanu, but there are questions about the legality of the move. Kanu is, of course, the leader of IPOB in the Southeast. He has been wanted for years, basically ever since the 2019 elections. But this year, the government announced that he had been rearrested with assistance from Interpol. But Kanu's closest allies insisted that he was kidnapped illegally in Kenya with no official extradition paperwork that had been filed. The Kenyan authorities also said that they were not aware of the operation on their soil that captured Kanu. But moving beyond Kanu himself, just like Happiness said, his group launched something of a reign of terror in the southeast. They've been enforcing so-called sit-at-home orders in protest of his arrest and trial. Basically, IPOP says nobody in the southeast should go to work or school on those appointed days, right? And this has led to lots of violence against regular people. We've also seen some retaliation from the government against citizens who, out of fear, comply with the order. For example, the Imo State government shut down various banks for complying with sit-at-home. But it does appear like the people themselves are fighting back. In Abia State, for instance, yesterday, people went to work, people opened up their businesses in defiance of the sit-at-home orders. It does look like that one is also coming to a head. But that's secessionism in a nutshell this year. What are your thoughts? 01465-7190 for women. For men, 0700-993-993-993. Remember, it's a long list. You can still talk about which story you believe is the biggest political story of the year. So I've told you about the southern governors holding meetings, making declarations, Anambra electing Chukwuma Soludo as governor, INEC being ordered by the courts to underregister the youth party, local government elections that happened here in Lagos, President Buhari nominating Loretta Onochie to be an INEC commissioner, a coalition of northern food producers attempting to block food from coming to the south, Issa Pantami being in the news for past comments about Boko Haram and Al-Qaeda. We just talked about Sunday Igbohu and Nnamdi Kanu. National Assembly passed the Electoral Act amendment, even though the president vetoed it. There was also, of course, the Twitter ban. Lots of PDP governors defecting to the APC, reviving the debate that the parties are the same. Some people say they're the same, others say they're not the same. Shane Makinde saying professionals should get into politics, and the leadership crisis in the PDP happened in 2021, which was your big political story of 2021. 99.3, hello. Hello?
Hello, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, sir. What's your name?
My name is Marcos. Marcos Wansoria.
Marcos, good to have you on the show. Could you speak up for me, please?
Okay, thank you.
Yes, go ahead.
The issue that caught my attention is the various issues of secessionism that come different nations.
Mm.
But you see, if you look at the history of the British government, you see that what they gave to us is the same thing that they have England, Scotland, and Wales. They have the North, the West, and the East. But we have not totally fashioned out how we can be able to live together. I think if we amend the constitution to let power rotate, stand around, wait it, wait it, we help this country. That's my point.
All right, Marcus, thank you very much. We have a message on WhatsApp from Tamuno. Tamuno says, tell that young person that called, didn't you listen to I Beg to Differ, where young people like you were expressing their opinions eloquently with sound points? that's a good one. Thank you very much, Tamuno, for that message. Speaking of I Beg to Differ, by January, we're going to start the auditions again for the next round. So keep listening to Nigeria Info so that you don't miss when auditions open on your number one talk station. 99.3, hello.
Good afternoon, Sandra.
Good afternoon. What's your name?
This is Joy.
Hi, Joy.
Nice to speak to you from the other side.
Nice to speak to you from the other side.
Yeah. So, well, my own biggest story is the coalition of the food people in the north. You said they attempted to stop food from coming to the south. I don't think
yes.
It was an attempt, because it actually happened. At that point in time, we had no onion. We had no some of the perishable goods that were coming from the north.
Yeah.
So we had food crisis.
Yeah.
So for me, that was I was really shocked for them to actually try to do such in order for them to make their voices known.
Mm.
Now, if for instance those in the south also decide to cut down their oil, from going to the other part of the country. I don't know how we all were going to also move. So I believe that one alone, yeah, that's my own biggest
story
for the year.
All right, Joy, thank you very much for calling, and thank you so much for joining us on the show yesterday. 99.3, hello.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, ma'am. What's your name?
I'm George.
Welcome, George.
George.
Okay.
Hello.
Good to have you on the show.
Yes, Sandra. It's been a while.
It has. Are you male or female, if you don't mind my asking?
I'm female.
Okay.
I just have a malish voice.
Okay. All right. Thank you for calling.
Compliment of the season.
Compliment of the season to you as well.
My biggest story is the coming together of the Southwest.
Okay.
Governors with a security outfit, Amocheco.
Okay.
And that's really, really helped us in the Southwest.
Okay.
So, enjoy your day.
All right. Thank you very much for calling, George. Enjoy your day as well. But Amotekun was actually formed in 2020. It was established January 2020, not 2021. I know that it feels like it was this year because 2020 and 2021, almost very, very similar, man. 99.3, hello.
Hello. My name is Tekena Joe.
Tekena, good to have you on the show.
Yeah. My biggest political story is the issue of TIN. You know, telling Nigerians that we cannot operate our bank account if we don't have a TIN is absolutely uncalled for.
Okay.
That's my biggest political story.
All right. Thank you very much. Now, that's not a political story. It's more a policy story, but okay. And did that happen this year? I'll have to confirm. 99.3. Hello. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, hello.
Hello.
Sandra.
Thank you for calling. What's your name?
Yeah, Babaji.
Welcome, Babaji.
I think I have so many of them, but let me go to the VAT.
Okay.
When the Rivers State governor went to court, and Lagos State governor joined for my first time in history, two political parties come together, two major states, the richest state and the second richest state coming together that we cannot take it any longer. And when they started breaking it down, only Lagos State, the federal government collected about $500 billion. And you give Lagos State back $130 billion. Who does that? And that of River, the same thing. And I come to realize that the restructuring has started quietly. But you know what, Sadra? Those guys, they sit on it. We didn't hear anything from there again.
Well,
you
it's in court. It's in court at the moment. So there was talk about them settling out of court, but it's in court at the moment, yeah.
Okay, let's hope so. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Baba G. Good evening. I appreciate your tenacity and facts all the time. I think my favorite story was a Twitter ban because it showed how primitive and authoritative Nigeria government is still run. You don't leave your name, but thank you very much for sending your message in. Compliments of the season, Sandra. My biggest political story for the year. Stories for the year are Southern Governors Forum, ban of Twitter, and the Anambra governorship election. That's OC from here in Lagos. OC, thank you very much. Adesoji Adekola Barawa in Barawa says that the political story that caught his attention was a raid on Sunday Igbo's house in Ibadan on 1st of July, which resulted in the death of two Igbo's followers and the arrest of 12 of his aides. The Gestapo manner the raid was conducted amounted to executive recklessness and show of power by the federal government. Adekola, thank you very much for your message. We've got OC who says the LCC accountant who could not remember how much income that was collected at the toll gate but could only remember the cost of fixing it. Oh yeah, that's right. I interviewed the Ogatwata of LCC here on Hard Facts in February, I believe it was, and he couldn't tell me how much that they had made at the toll gate. Anonymous says Anonymous is talking about an entirely different story. Sandra, my name is Tare from Lekki Jackie, Malami is still living in the Stone Age and looking for an excuse not to do the needful. I think you are talking about our story from the Big Three, and we've moved on from that story. All right. The political story of the year that shook Nigeria was the arrest of Nnamdi Kanu. Kevin from Sagamu with that message. All right, Kevin. Kenneth from Shasha says, my biggest political story was Akeredolu appointing his son the DG of an agency, nepotism of the highest order. All right, Kenneth. My main story of the year is the election of Professor Saludo as governor of Anambra State. Congrats to him. Nnamdi Uzoku with that message there. Nnamdi, thank you very much for sending your message in. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, let's talk about that food blockade that happened in February, shall we? You had the Amalgamated Union of Foodstuff and Cattle Dealers of Nigeria stopping their members from moving foodstuff from northern Nigeria to the south. I'll bring you details of that story when we come back from this commercial break. I'm Sandra Ezekwesili. You're listening to Hard Facts on 99.3 Nigeria Info.
99.3 Nigeria Info, your number one station for talk. Let's talk.
We're looking at the biggest political stories of 2021. Which ones are your top choices? So we had local government elections here in Lagos. Turnout was very low. Some saw this as a sign that citizens are not ready to do their part to change things. Others said citizens are discouraged because they feel local government elections have been captured by the ruling party. The question was at the time, if over half the registered voters show up on election day, will the ruling party or anybody else be able to hijack the polls? That's still the question today. Then Anambra elected Chukwuma Soludo as governor. APGA continues its successful run in Anambra. I wonder what's behind it, you know? Because Soludo has tried repeatedly and failed. His eventual success, was it due to dedication and seriousness? Or was it just luck to have finally convinced the right party to anoint him as their candidate? And then the court ordered INEC to un-deregister the youth party. Lasiek tried to ignore the order, but the youth party got another court order barring Lasiek from holding local government elections if they don't list youth party. I wonder if this is a sign that smaller parties can get the system to work for them at times. And I wonder under what conditions this could work. Then President Buhari nominated Loretta Onochi to be an INEC commissioner. PDP senators protested because Onochi has been a vocal APC member. They said INEC commissioners should be impartial, and if Buhari wants to reward a loyalist, he could place her in almost any other parastatal. Eventually, the president withdrew her name, but he said that the reason he was withdrawing her name was because of a federal character. Then Issa Pantami was in the news for past comments about Boko Haram and Al-Qaeda. Politicians like Nyesom Wike said that his praise for Al-Qaeda and Boko Haram, no matter the context or however long ago, should disqualify him from holding government office. Some people agreed, some people disagreed. Where do you stand on that? There was also, of course, the Twitter ban. Twitter deleted a tweet of the president for allegedly being provocative and inciting violence. The presidency condemned it. Days later, Information Minister Lai Mohammed announced the suspension of Twitter. Cases are in court over the legality of it. Some of the cases have been thrown out. Government claims that Twitter will soon meet its demands. All of this year, we're hearing in a few days. In a few days, it's been months and, you know, a few days never reach. Twitter has generally not said much about the situation. Some Nigerians are still tweeting, and they're using VPNs to do it. We also had loads of PDP governors defecting to the APC. The APC says that this is because the PDP is dying. The PDP says it's because the president is using anti-corruption as a stick to fight his political opponents, the president himself, not the presidency. These defections revived the debate over whether or not the parties are the same. Then Governor Seyi Makinde made the point that professionals were needed needed in politics. He said the reason governance is poor is that professionals have stayed away from politics, which has allowed the least productive Nigerians to hijack it. And there cannot be a political year without a party leadership crisis. Last year, it was the APC. This year, it was the PDP. The courts ordered Prince Uche Secondus to stop parading himself as national chairman of the party. Nigerians love that term so much, parading yourself. But anyways, yeah, these are some of the biggest stories we covered on Hard Facts, political stories we covered on Hard Facts. Which ones are your top strikers? Which ones? Before we get into the details of the food blockade, I want to hear your thoughts. 0700-993-993-993. 01465-7190. We've got Facebook, Nigeria Info 99.3. We're streaming live there. And we also have WhatsApp 080-959-75805. Chinwe says, my wildest political story is FFK decamping to the APC. I called him jumpologist. All right, Chinwe. 99.3, hello.
Hello, good afternoon, sister.
Good afternoon. What's your name, sir?
My name is Akuns, calling from Oja.
Welcome, Akuns.
I'm talking about Soludo election, as well as Anambra State.
Okay.
You see exactly what is happening in Nigeria that everybody's listening. Look, when you see a state that have good character in everything, that is called Anambra State.
Hmm.
Out of Nigeria, I'm telling you, okay. You know Nigeria in general.
Okay.
Because these people, they know PDP is existing, was existing. APC was existing, and APUGA. But one thing there is this. This man, so-called Ojukwu, suffered for Anambra State in the whole Southeast. And he lavished all the whole of his father's properties because of our freedom. But at last, he bent down, and Shagare just bring him back from where he went after the war. Now, that APUGA and the whole Anambra said, we should not leave this man as he died, that his party shall continue living, so that they use it and that is, tell the man that Anambra love him and everybody. Once election is consigned, when Anambra, they are sharing governorship to South Anambra, East, West, and the South. Other sections have taken their own turn. But now it is turn of Anambra South, which is Nnewi, stroke others. And the whole parties assumed their governor candidate to that Anambra South. But the most important thing there is this, that everybody have looked at all the candidates that other parties brought out. Soludo is the most popular and the lowest governor person who can govern Anambra with truth. As he governed the Central Bank of Nigeria and nothing was found out against him. He called Anambra and said, I will serve you people with truth and mind. I'm not coming there to steal your money. I have made the money go through the government on the right way. I don't have anything to do with your people's money. Let me come out and govern Anambra as this thing is up to us for Anambra South. And the other, mostly Anambra South, Nnewi South, is the turn to bring this governorship candidate to rule Anambra. But at last, they vow, they say, okay, let us give this man a chance for him to come and make us a proud man. But what I'm telling Obianona is this, for him to remember that these people obey him. Let me remember that Anambra South, Nnewi South, because those people is the people that make it. If it is in Imo State, there will be war now. But Anambra say, we cannot make mistakes like Imo State. That this is man that will go for us. That is why this man stands, and no problem in Anambra. And you see that Anambra is the most important state in Nigeria that other people will emulate. So that is where I focus my own mind. And I love it. I'm not from Anambra, but I love what they did.
All right. Thank you very much for calling to share your thoughts on that subject. Let me bring you details of this other big story, the food blockade. It happened in February 2021. Like I said before the break, the Amalgamated Union of Foodstuff and Cattle Dealers of Nigeria stopped their members from moving foodstuff from northern Nigeria to the south. It happened after the Shasha market crisis in Ibadan. The union claimed that damage was done to their members and their goods. They claimed the same thing happened to them during the NSAS protests. Therefore, they demanded compensation of 475 billion naira, and their final demand was removal of checkpoints on highways, which they said were being used to extort their members. And until these demands were met, the group insisted that no food would come to the south. About a week later, the AUFCDN lifted the blockade after a meeting with some governors in Abuja. There were no details on the record about what they were promised or what they were given to end the blockade, but they sure ended it 1 week later. How did the blockade affect you? Did it even affect you? Do you remember? The point of these conversations we have at the end of the year is to remind you of some of these very important things that happened, right? Because Nigerians are often accused of having very short-term memory. So this is supposed to rejig your memory. So do you even remember how the blockade affected you? Was there any type of food shortage in your area? Joy already called and talked about onions and tomatoes being scarce around that time. Did prices go up in your area, in your markets? Because there were various reports from different news outlets that prices went up in Lagos, in Port Harcourt, in Ibadan, in Uyo, and some other southern towns. Did it hit you hard? How hard did it hit you? And how hard did it hit the producers? Because remember, most of this food is perishable. The onions, the pepper, the tomatoes. So refusing to sell your biggest market may lead you to losing money. Some have suggested that this was why they were so quick to leave the blockade, that it was pinching them too. But how you see that story that time? 01465-7190, 0700-993-993-993. You can still tell me your own biggest story of 2021. Political stories, that's what we're focusing on. Tomorrow, we'll do business stories. On Thursday, we'll do social stories. But today, we're doing political stories. 99.3, hello.
Hello.
Thank you for calling. What's your name?
Chimelein.
Your name is Chinoye?
Timilane,
good to have you on the show.
Yes, thank you.
Timilane, are you male?
Yes.
Oh no, you're calling the wrong line. 99.3, hello. Sorry about that. Call back if you can. 99.3, hello.
Hello.
Thank you for calling. What's your name?
I'm calling from Jodi.
Good to have you on the show. Go ahead.
Yeah, that blockade, it wasn't that the northern traders actually want to go into it. The major reasons why they insisted on starting that blockade was that coming down south with their food produce, 150 checkpoints before they leave their base to the point of sale, some of them have spent close to 250 to 300 and something thousand naira. This is not supposed to be so. Mm. But they pay this money. Multiple taxation on the way. Mm. Different local government collecting different money. Mm. Some of their vehicles run into accidents. Mm. Avoidable accidents. Mm-hmm. These are the major reasons. And why I actually like that thing to have existed was we in the south here, we always claim we own oil. Mm. But not knowing that oil is not our own. Mm. Because we are not in control of oil in any way. Mm. Agriculture is what we should have gone inside. Some of my colleagues and friends here, what they told me that time, let them stop their onions. Is it not ordinary onions? I will tell my family. Up till now, none of us started any family. None of us. Pepper, this Christmas, go to the market and see how much they are selling pepper and tomato. Mm. We have too much mouth here. That's the thing that we live on. Mm. Those of our people who have big money, they don't know what to do with it. Instead, they will organize all one day. These people will take their money and go to the closest bush, set up farm and grow something there, bring it out to us. It's not that our land is not viable to farm. If that thing would have happened, I still like it up there now. It will make us in the south here to know that agriculture is very important for us. And the onions went up, tomato went up, Do you know that we still buy okra from north? Okra went up. Orange. Tell me what we are producing here. When we want to talk, we saw you. How do we control oil? You blow the pipeline. Blow the pipeline now. And what happened? Hunger will still be affecting us here. So that's the major thing. If that one has happened, and that's what we still have as a problem. Farming, agriculture is what each and every one of us should go into in this South. Because the same thing we see happen. We like money. All our state governors is generation of revenue. Go Agboro, look at Lagos. The whole place is Agboro. These are people who are supposed to be in the farm. Old men, they are on the road. Their children are on the road with them. Their grandchildren are on the road with them. The whole of Lagos. Government is not doing anything. Thank you, my sister.
Thank you very much for calling. We've got a message here. The invasion of the residents of Justice Mary Odili was another political story of the year. Yeah, that's actually a good one. I can't believe I missed it. FFK, decamping suddenly to the ruling party was my biggest political story. Lanrain Ejibo with that message there. My wildest story of the year was President Buhari describing Biafra as a dot in Nigeria. That statement meant that the geopolitical zone in the southeast is really small. Nnamdi Okorafor in Amuodofin with that message there. All right. Sandra, did you notice that there was an after effect of the food blockade? It's still lingering until now. There are some food items that the prices did not fall. To enlighten us, please let's be advised to go into farming. Let all regions be independent so that there'll be food produced in the West. Sean with that message there. All right, Sean. Thank you very much. We've got more people who are sending us messages. Sandra, la la la. Imagine someone will give his to be. Okay. Oni says that his own is food security. They should plan how food items will come to the south, west, southeast. That ended after 1 week. It's not an ongoing story. The story of Issa Ali Pantami on his intervention with the terrorists. Kevin Donatus in Shagamu with that message there. All right, Kevin. Goke from the UK says his main story of the year was Twitter deleting the president's tweet. All right, let's come back to the phone lines. 99.3, hello.
Hello, Sandra.
Thanks for calling. What's your name?
Kevin, Obaino on the line.
Welcome, Obaino.
My biggest and shocking story of the year is that President Lai Mohammed denied that nobody was shot at Lekki Toge.
Okay.
You know what I said?
I heard what you said, yes.
He said nobody was shot and killed at Lekki Toge. That was my biggest and shocking story for this year.
Okay.
I've not seen that kind of lie in my life before. Thank you.
All right, Obaino, thank you very much. So we're not looking at the most shocking story of the year. We're looking at most, the biggest political story of the year. Instructions during exams are important. 99.3, hello.
Hello.
Thanks for calling. What's your name, sir?
It's Leke from Shagam.
Leke from Shagam. Welcome.
Okay. My biggest story to be... Twitter ban. Hello.
Yes, Twitter ban was your own,
yeah.
Huh?
Yeah, Twitter ban is my own because it affects my work.
Okay.
You know, I'm into music and Twitter will be the medium, one of the biggest medium in a year for us for promotion of our work. So, government buying is really, really affecting our work as a creative. So for me, this year, Twitter buying is very, 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 very bad.
What's your big story? All right, Leke from Shagam, thank you so much for calling. Remember, tomorrow we're going to take a look at the top business stories of the year. Top business stories of the year. So, things like, the ban on cryptocurrency, even though that particular story doubles both as a policy decision, but also as a business decision. So we'll take a look at that story. Nigeria's launch of the e-Naira, all of those we'll take a look at that tomorrow on Balogun and Broad. But before we go, this one is a story that has dominated news cycles, especially in the last quarter of 2021. This story will follow us into 2022. We had the battle to get the Electoral Act Amendment Bill to pass the National Assembly. Somewhere along the way, National Assembly removed the provision mandating INEC to transmit election results electronically. They removed that. Civil society groups raised the alarm. Citizens lauded it. Then we had the southern governors joining the outcry. But at first, those in the National Assembly who opposed electronic transmission were adamant. They said INEC could not implement it because there are remote areas, especially in the north, that had poor network connectivity. They now passed a version of the bill which said INEC could only conduct electronic transmission when and where approved by the Nigeria Communications Commission, NCC. But INEC fired back. INEC insisted that it had a report jointly written by INEC and the NCC which showed that every local government in Nigeria could handle electronic transmission. The debate got hot. It got very hot. It got hotter with Senate President Lawan complaining that his colleagues were getting bombarded by calls and messages. That one sweets me, I'm not gonna lie. Finally, both chambers of National Assembly removed the NCC clause from the bill, reintroduced full electronic transmission as INEC's right, and then they passed the bill. And then the president vetoed it. President Buhari refused to sign the bill into law because of another clause that was put in the bill, mandatory direct primaries. The clause would rid parties of the right to choose which type of primary they want to run. Supporters of the clause say that it will strengthen democracy by forcing parties to count the vote of members rather than impose candidates on them through a small group of delegates that can be bribed. But opponents say, oh, it's too expensive and parties should have a choice. Same National Assembly members say that they want to veto it, some of them at least. They say they want to veto the president's, they want to override the veto. But we're going to have to wait until next year to see if that happens. So this is a story that will follow us into 2022, may still be a story by the time elections happen in 2023. But that's it. That's what that's what 2021 looked like politically. What was your take on the ongoing Electoral Act Amendment Bill saga? And the other stories we have as well. Which one is your top choice of a political story? 2021's biggest political story. I wish I had time to take your thoughts on it, but we're out of time. We have to go. But tomorrow, I'll bring you the big stories we covered on the glass ceiling at 4. And then our business segment, Balogun and Broad, will take a look at the business stories that broke in 2021. I'm Sandra Ezekwesili on social media. S. Ezekwesili on social media. Facebook, all of them. Sandra Ezekwesili. Just search me. You'll find me. Until tomorrow, I'll hand you over to Rufai for conversations with Rufai. And then he will hand you over to the sports gang for Football Frenzy, Femi and the Gang, at 7 o'clock. And when that's done, you get Daddy Freeze for Live and Dangerous. When Daddy Freeze is done, he'll hand you over to Ada Blessing for a very, very fantastic overnight show. I am Sandra Ezekwesili, Lagos. Those were your hard facts. Good night.